It's a great blessing to be here for your first service of this year, and I've already been made to greatly rejoice in the Lord. I just want to encourage Fellowship Primitive Baptist Church to just continue on in the good way and to be a forward-thinking church, as God has always blessed you to be. Onward, Christian soldiers. I commend you to continue to fulfill the great commission that the Lord has given to His church and continue to be that great church militant doing battle for King Jesus until He returns again. He's coming, you know.
Yes.
And the Spirit and the bride say what?
Come.
Come. Amen. Come quickly. Yes, so we have a lot to look forward to in this year and in our lives and in our future. Our future is secure by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For all the promises of God in Him are...
Amen.
I want to invite you to turn to the Old Testament. The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I ask you to turn to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. And the title of our message this morning is actually a question that the song that we just sang answered affirmatively. And the question is, can God provide? This is going to be a challenge to your faith throughout your whole life, from your youth through your teenage and adolescent years, through what we call the middle years, and even to old age. Your faith will constantly be tested by this question, can God provide? And I want you to know that that answer is yes. The Lord can provide, the Lord has provided, the Lord will provide. But the devil, he loves to try to use this against us, even with our first parents. That's how he got them. He said, well, God will provide, but this He won't provide. And so, you know, look to Me and I'll give you what God can't. And we know they bit into that forbidden fruit and we've all been paying the consequences. Not that any of us would have done any different or can blame them. I remember Charles Haggie one time, he said this. I was taking a back bite. He said, when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to find Adam and I'm going to kick Adam in the butt. And I said, I don't think so, sir. I don't think that's what your first thing, if you make it, that you'll be doing. No, we're going to bow at Jesus' feet, say, my Lord and my God. And if we see Adam, we'll say, you just did the same thing that I would have done. Thanks be to Jesus, the second Adam, who saved us from all our faults and failings. This series that the Lord put on my heart to preach about the life and ministry of the prophet Elisha has been very profitable to me personally and timely, I believe, in our day. You know, America was founded as a Christian nation. That's without any shadow of a doubt. You just look back into the founding fathers, 50 of the 55 framers of our Constitution were devout evangelical men that loved the Bible, that loved the Church of the Living God, that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was very important to them that this nation, this new nation, be founded on Judeo-Christian values and the Puritan work ethic. And we have a great Christian heritage in this nation. But Satan has hated that. And he's been at war to destroy that ever since the very beginning. He almost was successful in the Civil War. But God's providence determined that that would not be the end of this nation. But we have seen in the last 100 years a terrible moral, spiritual decline away from the God of our fathers. It has grieved us all. The generation before mine warned us of it, fought against it, cried to the Lord to turn the tide. And I believe there have been moments and glimpses where God has really put His hand over the sword of judgment, and it has stayed sheathed, I believe, through the cries of His people and their hearts to see a godly nation continue in the earth. But we have seen the scale begin to tip more and more from being a Christian nation to a secular nation. And it's hard to believe that there could be a nation that has been so blessed upon the earth, a people that have been so adamantly blessed by God in so many ways, that they would forget God, that they would turn their back on God. But that's exactly what happened in the Old Testament. And it was just a slow fade, like we've seen in our day. The nation of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, you remember they separated themselves from Jerusalem and from the true temple worship. They said, well, we can just kind of set up our own worship. We can make a Jehovah like we want him to be, and we can make a worship that's really close to the real thing, and have a priesthood, and you know, we can just say that we love God. We can have a lip service to God. But I ask you, did God ever recognize that? But slowly after they made that compromise, then they also brought in other gods as well, till it came to a point so much that the nation had really forgotten God. Isn't that amazing that a nation that was began by God, that was a theocracy, over a period of time slowly ebbed away and forgot the very God that blessed them to be a people and called them among all the peoples of the earth to be a peculiar people unto Himself. Well, God would raise up men called prophets to remind the nation of the God of their fathers, of the covenant God, and God would use them in great signs and wonders to do miracles among them to cause them to have a heart to turn back to God. And sometimes they really did. They really repented and turned back to God. And God gave them great revival in their day. May it be so for us. May we, every day we wake up, may we pray for revival for ourselves and for our land. And so the umbrella under which I've preached this series of messages is the nation who forgot God and the man who reminded them. And we do live in a land, in a nation of spiritual amnesia. It is as if a majority of our people have forgot that we're nothing without God. They have forgotten the very motto that we have for our nation. In what? In God. We trust that we are a nation under God. But beloved, we see that how easy that it can happen. And what we want to do, not that we could have the amazing gifts that Elisha had. I mean, God could still bless anybody to do anything. But we do want to pray, Lord, use me like you did Elisha, to be a light, to be a witness in our day, to be a person and a vessel that you can use, an instrument in your loving hand that can be used through my marriage, through my family, through the way that I do my work, through the way that I worship and serve the Lord, that will remind the nation around me of the true and the living God. For beloved, He is our only hope. He is our only hope. So, can God provide? A lot of miracles have already taken place in the ministry of Elisha before we get to chapter 4. And chapter 4 is really unique, especially for the sisters in here. You have two women in this chapter that are on opposite ends of the spectrum. And every sister here could find their place somewhere in these two stories. And it's really amazing. One woman had nothing, and one woman had everything. But both women only survived in their lives through their faith in the God of heaven and through His wonder-working power. And truly, that's where we all are in that spectrum. But so far, all the miracles that Elisha has done has been in a corporate way. It's been in a national way or a blessing that was going to be for a lot of different people at once. But here is a specific individual miracle and blessing for a little woman that probably nobody in the nation knew anything about except God. I always love in the Gospels of Jesus in John chapter 4 when he says to his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. And it wasn't because he wanted to, you know, take the scenic route. It was because he had a specific woman to meet by a well who had nothing, who needed everything, and who drank the living water. And here this same God, the God of yesterday, today, and forever, here he is going to concentrate and use this story to remind us all of how that he can provide for us. Do you trust God to provide? Will you trust God to provide for health? Will you trust God to provide for salvation? Will you trust God to provide you a spouse? Will you trust God to provide for the church? Beloved, here faith is tested and proved. An essential question, these are essential questions for all of us. All of us deal with these things, don't we? Have you ever asked yourself the question or thought the question, will I have enough? Will I have enough? Will I be okay? Can I pay my bills? We all face those questions in our lives, haven't we? Here this widow is in such a desperate situation, and she asked these essential questions to the man of God and to God himself. But I want you to know that the answer to that question, can God provide? Here's the answer. And I'd like you to write it down, and I'd like you to live it as a motto for 2021. In Jesus Christ, God will provide for our needs, because everything in God's goal is for His glory and for our good. Do you rejoice in that today? You see, God's ultimate goal for me in this life is not my comfort. It's not my quote-unquote happiness. Now, hallelujah, the end game for all of us in God is that, right? In heaven, He'll wipe every tear. We'll have ease and enjoyment and pleasure forevermore. But in this life, that is not the goal of God for our lives. It's my enjoyment or my comfort. But beloved, His goal in our lives is for us to grow in His grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to learn that God will provide my every need. And in Christ Jesus, God will provide your every need, because everything that He does is for His glory and for our good. So let's turn here and let's read the story. 2 Kings chapter 4. And don't let this be an old fable or just a story of antiquity. Try to put yourself in this story and feel through faith what God is teaching and doing here in this day and in this time. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into all these vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Hallelujah. Can God provide? I'd like to ask my sister Mary and her husband Jonathan that this morning. There they were without children, but through an open heart of wanting to help babies that have bad homes, they received two children that they love and adore. And then, in God's provision, in God's time, was God on y'all's timetable, Jonathan? Oh, he wasn't, was he? That's right. He was on his timetable. He provided you two sons from the wife of your love. I ask you, is that a miracle? Is God still doing miracles among us today? Is the God of Elijah? That's what Elisha asked when he struck the Jordan with the mantle of his forebear. He said, "Where is the God of Elisha?" Well, that's where this woman is crying out. Where's God in my need? I'm in a desperate situation. You know, why do bad things happen to good people, right? Here's this woman. She says, "My husband, he sold out to the Lord. He was probably one of those 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal." You know, no telling how they came into the financial straits that they were. We know how Jezebel, just a few chapters before, had persecuted the prophets of the Lord. No telling how they came into this terrible financial condition, but here they were. But the point is that I want you to realize is that God allowed them to come into that financial dilemma, but He didn't leave them there. And sometimes I want you to write down that God will provide eventually. Sometimes God will provide eventually. Well, if you're like me, you don't really like that, right? Because I want it now, right? I want relief now. I want help now. I want healing now. I want children now. I want a new job now. But God is our Father, and God knows what is best, and God knows what we need, and He knows when we need it. And beloved, my promise to you is from the Word of God, He's always going to provide what you need when you need it. But sometimes God provides eventually. Look at the promise of Scripture. I don't know what everybody's going through. I do know what some of you are going through in here. Some of you are going through some severe, severe trials of your faith. You're really being tested. Lord, can you do a miracle? Lord, can you provide? Do y'all, sisters, hear the desperateness in this woman? She lost her love. She lost her husband, her defender, her provider. And in those days, sisters, that was all you had except for God. But then she had two boys. But it was so bad that the creditors were going to come and take her sons away from her, her future security as well. The boys probably would have taken care of their mother, but they were going to be taken away. This is a person that is in dire straits, as we say. But always remember that God is not on our timetable. Look with me in the book of Ecclesiastes, just to drive this point home to us. You know, we all want COVID to be over, don't we? We want to get back to normal. I want to quit wearing a mask everywhere. Raise your hand or say amen. But we're not on our timetable for that. We're on God's timetable for that. Can God provide for us during and until? Eventually. Yes. Will He provide eventually? Yes, He always does. Here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the preacher, that's the book of the preacher, this man has lived a long time, and he's looking back and he's trying to write down the most important things that he's learned in his life to tell us and the people of God. And so in chapter 3, he talks about time and events. Even the turtles, I believe, some of y'all that are older than me. Was it the turtles or the Beatles that made a song? Anybody remember? I think maybe it was the turtles. There's a time. A time to love. A time to die. All these different times in our lives. But look at the conclusion in verse 11. And whatever that you're waiting for, it might be someone to spend your life with. It might be you need healing in your body. It might be somebody in your life is in deep depression and you need God to rescue them. He says in verse 11, He hath made everything. Hallelujah. Can you get into that verse? I can. He hath made everything beautiful in what? In His time. He has made everything beautiful in His time. God allowed this financial catastrophe to reveal to this woman and to the nation of Israel again that He is Jehovah Jireh. Y'all remember that story, right? Abraham is asked to give up his Isaac, takes him into Mount Moriah. Isaac willingly is bound and lies on the altar, and Abraham is plunging the knife, and eventually, right? I mean, to the last moment, right? God stays His hand through His voice and says, spare the lad. And Abraham looks in the thicket. And there God had what? Provided the ram to take the place. And Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. God is a present help in the time of our trouble. God allowed this financial catastrophe in their lives to reveal He was the Jehovah Jireh. Even in our dire straits, beloved, we must trust the giver. So this woman, she comes to the man of God and she needs a miracle. She needs help. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed help? Oh, yes, we all have. Aren't you glad that God is the God of help? The God that is wanting, that is willing, that is waiting to provide. But just like in this story, sometimes it's us realizing our emptiness before we will ever feel the overflowing fullness of God. All the pots that were brought into the house were what? They were empty. But when God was finished, they were all what? They were all full, right? Sometimes God provides eventually, but we must be very careful that we don't get resentful against providence, that we don't get resentful against God determining when and where and how that He provides for us. I hear this in this woman. I hear it come out of my own heart sometimes. Lord, I'm trying to serve You. I'm trying to give my life to You. I'm trying to be a witness and be a good man. Why do You allow some of these terrible things to happen in my life that are so embarrassing? Do you think this was embarrassing for this woman? When you have financial difficulties, it's embarrassing. I ask you, you think Jesus was embarrassed when they stripped Him naked and put Him on a cross, penniless? Jesus knows what it is to be emptied. He emptied Himself. He made Himself of no reputation. Took on the form of a servant that He might fill us all. I hear in this woman's heart, she's saying, this isn't right. This isn't fair. We served God. We were faithful. Even all the rest of the nation has turned away from God. But you know my husband. He was your servant. He was a faithful man of God. And now he's dead. And now we're in this financial situation. They're coming to take my sons away. Where's God? Where's God? We even hear from the voice of our Savior, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." We have to really guard against resentment. That's what the devil is trying to do in your life, in your marriage, with your job, with your church, with your pastor. He's trying to get you to see that God hasn't provided you what you want. He doesn't say He doesn't provide for you what He need, because you know He has. But He says, God hasn't provided for you what you want. I can give it to you. And then He tries to get you to be resentful against God for not getting you or allowing you to have what you want when you want it. Anybody ever had any children like that? There's sometimes there's things that children need at different times. And as wise and good parents, you know that. And sometimes you keep from them certain things until they're ready for it, until it's time. But beloved, let us not be resentful against God. So would you agree with me that sometimes in your life and in my life, God has provided, but it has been eventually. But I want to be a testimony that God has never failed me. God has never failed me once in my life of every need that I have. I believe it's in one of our songs that says, "Hast thou not seen how all thy longings have been granted and what He ordaineth?" Now, not only does God sometimes provide eventually, and that's where this woman is. She's in God's holding place. She's in God's school. But she is, hallelujah, she's crying out to God. She's not trying to be her own deliverer. And would anybody in here have solved this situation this way? Isn't the Bible amazing? Isn't God amazing? If I was Elisha, now listen, Elisha had friends in high places. We find even the next story, the woman that has everything and thinks that she doesn't need anything. That's the next story. Elisha actually says to her, "Do you want me to speak to the king? Do you want me to speak to the leader of the army? I can get you anything that you need." The woman says, "I'm satisfied. I'm content." She said, "I'm among my own people." The next woman in the story. You know, you would have thought that Elisha would have went to one of his benefactors and said, "Listen, you know, you're rich. We got a situation here. You know, I'm going to look back because this guy, he was really faithful to me. They're going to take this. We're going to lose face. Can you write out a check and let me just give it to this woman and take care of this?" Who would have handled it that way? Raise your hand. But I'm not saying that it would have even been wrong if God had handled it that way. But God is teaching us something here. Sometimes not only does He provide eventually, but sometimes God provides surprisingly. Does He not? What a plan. What a plan, right? First He starts off with the woman and He says, "What do you have?" That's powerful, isn't it? Because the devil is always working on me, asking me what I don't have. But God's always, "What do you have?" Whether it's the boy with the loaves and the fishes, and he takes it, right? Start out with empty baskets. God takes what somebody has, He blesses it in His time, and in His way, He feeds 5,000 men plus women and children, and at the end, are the baskets empty or are the baskets full? God provided. Amen. Every need of every soul, of every heart. You ever gone to eat at the Varsity in Atlanta? You walk in and all the people at the counter, what are they saying? "What do you have? What do you have? What do you have?" Isn't it wonderful to know that we have a God like that? That we come to, and Elisha doesn't say, "Well, y'all should have made better financial decisions. Go sleep in the bed that you made. You're kind of dishonoring the church and you're dishonoring us because you did poor with your finances." No, Elisha says, "How can I help? I have a great God that has the storehouses of heaven And he says, if you'll prove me, if you'll ask of me, I'll open up the windows of heaven and I'll pour down a blessing upon you that you can't even contain. That's the God that you serve. That's the God that you're coming to. And eventually, and surprisingly, He's going to provide for you in your life. No situation is too desperate for God. Hallelujah. This woman's situation was desperate. It was an easy fix for God. But He was going to work it. He was going to work her faith and works together with His power to make her cup to overflow. Can you imagine the difference? You know, have you ever seen people's attitude or faces just turn on a dime when God does something for them? Can you imagine the difference the first time this woman came to Elisha? Y'all with me? My husband's dead. They're coming to take my sons. And then after the miracle, the way she came to Elisha. Surprising turn of events here, right? Surprising. No situation is too desperate for God. I remember one time at the Pitney home, Mama came to Dad and said, Paul, we've got to go out to eat tonight. There's nothing in the house to eat. Dad said, I know we've got something in this house to eat. We did. Mama, what was it? A can of sauerkraut and a can of spinach. That's what we had for supper that night. No lie. Not trying to make Dad look bad, but he found what we had. Elisha knew her need. He knew what she didn't have. But where God starts us is what you do have. And God took what she did have and mixed it with her faith and works to make her cup to overflow. Do you see that? That's where you need to begin. And whatever situation that you've been thinking about in your life, what do you have? What do you have? And God says, and by the way, what can I do for you? I'm ready. I'm willing. I'm waiting for you to come to me because He can do exceedingly, abundantly, above what? Above all that we ask or think. I'm afraid we sell God way too short, way too many times. Would you pray this quick prayer in your heart? Lord, help me to quit being my own deliverer. Help me quit being my own deliverer. We must always praise God for what we have. We must always believe that God wants to do for us. This is so surprising. And I really love verse 3. And my cousin Aaron will really appreciate why I love this verse so much. Because he's my neighbor as well. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. You know why I like that, Aaron? I borrow Aaron's trailer. I borrow Aaron's saw. I got Bible verse for it, brother. He said, go borrow abroad of all thy neighbors. I like that. Especially if you're a poor preacher and you like to do a lot of things. You need help. And hallelujah for people whose hearts are so willing. Aren't you glad that she had neighbors that said, I can give you a pot. I can give you a pot. And I can just see her and her sons in the dark in that house. The confusion that must have been there, but the faith too, to believe God. It's like Naaman. Remember Naaman? This is the same prophet. It's kind of like we keep coming back to the same thing that God will provide. Go baptize in the Jordan 7 times. No, I don't want to go baptize in that river, that dirty river, no. And everybody implores them, please, just go do it. What have you got to lose? Here they are in this little house that's probably about to be foreclosed on. In the dark, a mama and her 2 boys that they're fixing to come take away, probably still in their grieving clothes from their dad. They've got this one little jar of oil and all these empty pots in the house. And mom begins to pour and pour and pour and pour. You can imagine the joy in that house that changed as they brought pot after pot to mom. Imagine them boys. Do you imagine as they keep looking up in that pot? Where's all that oil coming from? surprisingly. Oh, I hope that America will learn to really live up to her motto, "In God we trust." It seems like in our land, in our day, we're turning to everywhere and everything but the one that we truly, most desperately need. And I don't speak of you, but I speak of our nation as a whole. Well, God supplies and provides eventually. You see that. All of us in here that have lived, we felt that. I'll encourage you, young people, to look at the testimonies of those that have gone before you, and they'll tell you, be patient and wait on the Lord and trust the Lord. Don't be your own deliverer. This church knows that right well. Sometimes God provides surprisingly. It can come from the most unusual things. You know, Peter came to Jesus and said, "We don't have money to pay our taxes, Jesus." Jesus doesn't go to Matthew and say, "Well, you're rich, you know, give to your brethren what they need." He tells them to go fishing. They catch a fish, and in the fish's mouth is the money that they need to go pay their taxes and extra. God, never underestimate God. Never give up on God, because He will never give up on us. Sometimes God will provide also abundantly. God will provide abundantly. Who in here is blessed? Who in here is blessed above and beyond what you could even expect God to give to you? Who in here would say like David, "You've made a table for me, even the presence of mine enemies. My cup overfloweth." Jesus said, "The thief has come to steal, to kill, and what? Destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and life what? More abundantly." Is He a providing God? Will He provide for you? Yes, even abundantly. How often our cup has been made to overflow. Notice the combination of this story of faith and works that brought blessing. Notice that sometimes it is realizing the emptiness that leads to the fulfillment. Often do we need to do in secret that we may be rewarded openly. What an amazing thing. He says, "What do you have? What will you have? What shall I do for thee? And what do you have?" She said, "I don't have anything but a pot of oil." He said, "Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels." And I love this. "Borrow not a few." And when thou art come in, here's the privacy of this blessing. It wasn't something done abroad. Even a lot of times Jesus would heal people and He would tell them, "Don't tell anybody," right? It's for you. It's for you today to know that God will provide for you. You're this woman. I'm this woman. We're all this, especially in regards to redemption, aren't we? We're all debtors. Right? We're all debtors. We don't have what we need to pay. We're all empty vessels. We don't have anything in and of ourselves. Do it in secret. Shut the door. He says, "Shut the door. Now come in upon thee and upon thy sons and shalt pour out into all these vessels and thou shalt set aside that which is full." I wonder, have you ever been to people for advice sometimes? And they give you advice and you walk away and you're thinking, "Man, how's that ever going to work?" Right? How did this woman think about this when she was walking from Elisha back to her house? I imagine there was a dilemma going on inside of her. Something like, "This is crazy." Right? This is crazy. But faith laid hold of the promise. And this woman believed, and then her faith sprang into action. And she did what God had offered and commanded. So she went in from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were what? They were full. She said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Went to Elisha empty. Brought in empty pots into her empty home with her empty bed. The power of God comes down, mingling faith and works that He has ordained together. And now that there's a fullness that can only be accredited to the glory of God for the good of His people. So is that just a story for that woman? No, that's a story for every one of us. That's a story for our nation, a nation that needs to be reminded that God is the only one that can truly provide what we need. But lastly, sometimes God provides redemptively. This is a redemptive story. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and hear the word of the Lord. Some people in here have faced financial ruin. It's not fun. It's probably one of the most hurtful, embarrassing things in America that you could experience in a land that of plenty. What if you faced financial ruin in your life? You know it can happen to you. Just a few things. Look at Job. He had everything, right? And then in a matter of a few moments, he was reduced to worshiping God in ashes. But what did Job say? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. What? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And was the end of Job better than the beginning? Amen. And the Lord provide for him all through? Isaiah 61, verse 13. I love this. Well, it can't be Isaiah 61:13, because there's not. Yeah. Well, when I preached this message the other time, it was there. See the Lord, how the Lord humbles you? Unbelievable. Where's it at? Yes, thank you. It's 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Does that make you think of this sweet widow? She was given the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be what? Glorified. Y'all know how much our nation is in debt. Whatever it was, it's more than what you just said. America's writing checks she can't cash. I don't know how it keeps going. I don't know if it's monopoly money. I don't know if it's just a game the whole world is playing with finances. But me and you know finances. We know our finances. We have to balance our budget. We can only, you know, there's a little bit of credit that you can stand and shuffle things around. But, beloved, this is a redemptive story. This is a story of redemption. See, redemption is not about you getting what you deserve or what you earned, is it? Redemptive is you've sold yourself into bondage, and then someone that is mighty and wealthy comes and they buy you out of bondage, out of your bondage. They pay all of your debts and then they set you free. That's what redemption, that's what Jesus Christ has done for all of us through salvation. I wonder today, if you realize your debt and you can rejoice in who paid it all. I wonder if today that we can truly rejoice in our redemption, that our debt has been paid, that our freedom has been bought, and like this sweet woman, that our future has been secured. Do you see redemption in this? Do you see the work of God in this woman's life? What a transition! I don't have anything. My husband's dead. They're coming to take my sons. Elijah, we did what you said. And now every pot in our house is full of oil. What can I do with what I have? Take it. Sell it. Pay off your debt. Abundant, right? So abundant. And he says, and just live off the rest. It's God's blessing to you. Well, that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for everyone who by faith trusts in Him to provide for thy salvation. You believe Jesus paid it all? And all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but what? He washed it as white as snow. There was a time in your life you were so empty. So empty. So alone. So desperate. But now you're full. Now you go your way rejoicing in the greatness of the provision of God. Sometimes it's eventually. Sometimes it's so surprisingly. Sometimes it's so abundantly. But beloved, I promise you, it's always redemptively. And to His name may be all the glory and praise be given. Trust Him is our prayer. God bless you.